If you have a copy of God's Word, I invite you to turn to James. As you know, we feel like we're about to part with an old friend, that we're almost finishing up this wonderful, wonderful letter of James this morning, The Power of Prayer. And the passage we started last week, we'll finish up. And to a tip to help us in our Bible reading, so something that'll be a great help in your Bible reading, is look for... I know I mentioned this last week, but to me, learning this principle years ago enabled Scripture to really come to life. So look for repeated words. In these six verses, we're going to get pray or prayer seven times. If you come up to me and you speak a paragraph's worth of dialogue with me and you say something seven times in one paragraph, hopefully, if I'm paying attention, I'm going to be like, that is very near to your heart and dear to your heart, right? And so I love this. James tips his hand. He tips his hand here in the summary part of his letter about what's really, really important. And what's really important in our passage is, listen to this, that we would be a people of fervent, consistent prayer. That's the theme of our paragraph. And again, we looked at a big chunk of that last week. So if you're able, will you stand while I read our passage for this morning? We'll go back and start at verse 13 from James chapter 5, but our preaching passage is verses 16 through 18. The word of the Lord from James 5:13. Is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? He is to sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Word of the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we testify and acknowledge and witness that it is true and clear and sufficient, infallible and inerrant. It is living and active, sharp. And Lord, as we read it this morning, it's convicting. I dare say there's not one in our fellowship today that doubts that prayer is powerful, that prayer is a privilege. But at the same time, there would probably be not one in our gathering this morning that would be confident that we are praying people to the degree that we desire to be, that you've called us to be, that we should be. And so, Lord, in this moment, we pray for your Spirit, for him to grant us divine power to see and hear, do according to your word. And we also know how weak we are. Lord, we can't just make resolutions and change. We pray that you would grant us the power, Lord, and that power in Christ, resurrection power, to grow and press on to be more like Jesus, to be the people that you've called us to be walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. And so, God, we pray that you would transform us by your word for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The power of prayer. If you last week, you'll recall, I won't give you a test on this, but I'm sure you would make 100. We look there at verse 13, and we would say that's the power of prayer for ourselves. We should pray for ourselves. Verse 13, is anyone among you suffering? And we said that suffering was, are you experiencing any kind of trouble at all? And if you are experiencing any kind of trouble at all, say amen. Amen. We're all experiencing, if we're honest, right? And so if we're suffering, we must pray. And he said, though, look, the other end of life's circumstances in verse 13, is anyone cheerful? He's to sing praises. That's us, ourselves, individual believers. And anyone in trouble, from good times to bad times, we're to be praying. So verse 13 is a power of prayer for the individual. Verse 14 and 15 is this is if you're, we looked at that, this is if you have an illness, if you're sick, and the sick member in verses 14 and 15 is pretty sick, not sick unto death, but is sick enough that she seems to be bedridden, and they're there to send for the elders, and they're to, hey, go get the elders and send them, and the elders are to come, and they're to pray, verse 14, over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer, verse 15, and offered in faith will restore this sick one. So in those verses, we've got verse 13, power of prayer for the individual. Verses 14 and 15, the power of prayer for physical illness. And then we get to, in verse 16, we're going to look at here in just a minute, how we are to pray for each other, how we're to pray for each other in the church. And so I want you to think about prayer. It's definitely the theme of the passage, as mentioned. And you are very familiar with that phrase, you don't judge a book by its cover. And we all have a tendency to do that. And listen, wouldn't you agree with me that prayer doesn't look like much to the outside observer? I mean, I just don't think a worldly person you strike much fear in, if they see someone, you know, someone coming kneel at the altar here, you don't look at that and go like, what a picture of strength that is. Now, we as Christ followers, and man, James is just, he is bringing truth that just preaches the varnish off the wood, right, in terms of the privilege of prayer. And prayer is powerful, the power of prayer. And I want to say this. I'm just like, I want to be transparent. I always want to be transparent. I start to say, I don't know why it is. I have some reasons. I do know some of why it is. But prayer's not easy. Prayer's not easy. It's just, and by the way, prayer's easily left off, isn't it? These things ought not to be. So, the power of prayer, let's get to it. Number one, can mend damaged relationships when we have sinned against each other. I know that's not a pithy, easy saying there, but stay with me. The power of prayer can mend damage relationships when we have sinned against each other. Look at verse 16. Therefore, he's grounding what he's about to say and what he has just said. Therefore, I'm going to say that if prayer's that essential, prayer's that powerful, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. And we'll talk about what that brings about. So listen to this. James, like we should be, is very concerned about the health of the fellowship of the church. He's intent. There's so many points we could draw from verse 16. We'll draw several. But he's very, very concerned about the health of the local church. And by the way, since that's so important, one of the principles underneath that would be that sin against each other, church members sinning against each other, causes great damage to the body of Christ. I mean, we need to like be realistic. And by the way, you know what a lot of people do in our culture since sin, there's, I'd say, two common responses. Since we're so prone to sin against one another, each other, And since sin causes so much damage, one of two things happen typically. We live with it, and we're a much weaker, far less healthy body than we would be. In other words, if I've sinned against my brother and my brother sinned against me, we sort of just like, we just keep acting sort of like it didn't happen, but everybody knows it happened. We either live with it and we're a weaker, less healthy body, or what we do in the Bible Belt, since you've got 4,000 Baptist churches, I didn't misspeak, in Alabama, you know what you do? You just take your little pouty self when you've sinned against someone, I'm being honest, or someone sinned against you, and you just go somewhere else. James would say, listen, Jesus' followers, there's a better way to live. So this is rules for the body of Christ. And so verse 16, therefore confess your sins to one another. Now, let's just, so James doesn't say anything about that Roman Catholic error that you need to, you know, go and confess your sins to a priest. By the way, also that you don't just need to, we don't need to get together and have like a sin confessing time. So look what he's saying. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. So this mutual dependence in the body, and what he's talking about there is, you know, to answer this question, who are we to confess our sins to? Well, secret sins, praise the Lord. You know who we're to confess our secret sins to? To God. And by the way, this is really, really good, God's timing on when we're looking at this. And we'll go to 1 Corinthians 11 in just a few minutes for the ordinance or the Lord's Supper. God has ordained and instituted the ordinance of the Lord's Supper for, listen, for church members. Baptized believers who are members of a local church. I'm not even looking for trouble. Don't go do this at your wedding. This. It hadn't been given to you. Don't do this when you're on vacation. Don't do this with your Sunday school class. Don't do this at the family reunion. Right? This is an ordinance that's been given to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, to proclaim Jesus' death until he comes, we'll read that verse, and as a means for us to confess our secret sins. We look at these ordinances, these elements of the ordinance in front of us, and 1 Corinthians 11 says, listen, this is a gracious offer by the Lord Jesus Christ that if we'll deal with the sins of our heart, he won't deal with them. If we'll judge ourselves rightly, we won't be judged. So, therefore, confess your sins to one another is not like, hey, man, I'm making a list. We'll catch up Wednesday, and I'll just tell you all the wicked, evil, the motives, thoughts I've had, and you'll tell me yours. Not what that text says. Therefore, confess your sins to one another. So, secret sins, confession is owed to God alone. Public sins, and James is talking about an aspect of public sins. Confession is due, listen, to the party who has been offended. If I've sinned against you, James would say, therefore, confess your sins to that offended party. And by the way, it's two-part his prescription. I love this. And I'm like, how would Lagos Baptist Church be transformed if we started practicing what Scripture clearly says in James 5, verse 16? That when we sinned against one another, we did two things. We went straight to the brother or sister we sinned against and said, listen, and this is the hardest thing. We start the conversation, two hardest words for a proud American to say. Probably the same if you're in India or Guatemala. I'm sorry. I sinned against you. Shouldn't have. Ask God to forgive me. Will you forgive me? Pause. Hopefully you get forgiveness. And then, this is the other part. Can we now pray together? That's what James is saying. Let me ask you, do you think that would enliven this body if we obey that verse? And by the way, I'm just going to say this. I can think of just a handful of times that I've seen that kind of thing in the churches I've been part of. Any of you? It's an infrequent Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. Look, so that you may be healed. The purpose of that, listen, if we don't obey this, we won't be healed. Now, in situations when we do that, people we love, and when we say, I'm sorry, and when we say, will you forgive me? And then typically we're like, then, hey, I'm praying for you. No, no, no. We need to bring to bear. We need to pray right there for one another. Let me ask you, when you do the good work of what the Bible prescribes in our human relationships, are those relationships better or worse on the other side of that? They're better. They're better. And James, it's just clear. It's a main and plain thing. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. So public sins, confession is due to the party who has been offended. By the way, the church, when we've sinned publicly and harmed the entire body. I like what Alec Motyer said about this first point, the power of prayer and how it can mend damaged relationships when we've sinned against each other. The passage, therefore, is not speaking of the gathering of groups or the holding of a meeting in which believers tell each other about their sins. Nor can such practices be justified on the ground of James 5:16. The biblical position regarding confessing sin can be summed up in this way. Confession must be made to the person against whom we have sinned and from whom we need and desire to receive forgiveness. There is secret confession to God because there are secret sins committed against God alone. Next, there is private confession because some of our sins are committed against a particular man as well as God, a private individual or two or three such, and must be confessed to the offended party. Thirdly, there is a public confession because some sins are committed against a group, a community, or the whole congregation, and must therefore be confessed publicly. How freeing is that? Isn't that glorious and good? So that you may be healed. And so there's incredible healing power in confessing our sins and then being restored in as we would pray together. Power of prayer, first of all, is this reality that it can mend damaged relationships when we've sinned against each other. Second, the power of prayer is the privilege of all believers. The power of prayer is the privilege of all believers. Look at the second half of verse 16. We'll start right there at verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. So I want you to think about this. The effective prayer of a righteous man, and by the way, I'm going to throw you, I love to watch that, not literally, I'm going to throw you a curveball. So I read at first reading, how many of you say, hey, at first, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much? Man, I'm glad to know when righteous men pray. That's a good thing, right? Like, you know, and if I meet a righteous man, I'm going to be on his prayer list. Okay? Not what it means. So here's the curveball, the effective prayer. So first of all, the effective prayer. What James is saying, prayer is powerful in what it is able to do. It's divinely powerful. Prayer is powerful in what it is able to do. I used to go all the time, all day long. It was a wonderful, wonderful job. I would go in doctor's offices, and I would tell them and show them all this data about how efficacious our products were. We told Voltaren. I'm biased. I know, really good, non-steroidal. And Voltaren was really, really effective on reducing pain and inflammation, All day long, I'd go in and tell people about our efficacy. And then I sold all kind of blood pressure meds, low pressure, metoprolol tartrate. It will bring your blood pressure down. It is efficacious. Listen, what James is saying is prayer is powerful, it's effective, it's efficacious. Prayer works. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. It is effective. And I should remember who said this, but we can do, I'll tell you what the saying is. I don't know who to give credit for the saying. We can do other helpful things after we pray about something, but there's nothing more effective than first praying about something. Prayer should be the first thing. Listen, prayer involves God in the situation. And by the way, we say stuff, boys and girls, I don't know if your parents let you say this word. It's in the Bible. We say stupid stuff. Clear it with your parents. But we'll say this. I want you to think about this. Hey, man, I know we mean well. I'll be thinking about you. Cool. Like, hey, while you're thinking about me, pray for me. Right? How many of you guys, like, hey, you know, so-and-so, especially we get in situations sort of like non-Christian, a little bit awkward, a little bit like, hey, I'm going to be thinking about you. Let me ask you, what power do you have if you're thinking about me? None, nada, zilch. Well, how about we say this, and we mean it. Let me tell you something. I'm going to show you how we can like really improve this. I'm praying for you. In fact, right now, give me your hand. Give me your hand. And people be like, huh? Like, Lord, and we pray. It is powerful. And I feel like, let me tell you, this sermon, I was back there praying this morning. I'm like, this for me and for you is Christianity 101. This is Vince Lombardi going, this is a football. Here's what I would say. If you do two things this week, if you'll do two things this week that God would have you do, and if I'll do two things, if you will crack open His Word and you will read it, you will hear what He has said, and then if you and I will get on our knees before Him in prayer and pour out our heart, I want to tell you something. It will be transformational to us and to those we live around. And let me just say this. If we're not doing those two things, we're not going to make progress in the Christian life. It's not like, hey, don't guilt me. No, I'm just truthing you and me. The effective prayer. Now, stay with me. Look, I'm still on the second point. It's the privilege of all believers. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Now, we would be like, righteous man, okay, those super spiritual. Maybe we got one of those at Lagos, two, right? Those super spiritual Christians, their prayers are powerful. Now, let me just tell you. The effective prayer, the efficacious prayer is efficacious. It works. Of a righteous man can accomplish much. Well, a righteous man is, and a righteous woman is one who is right with God. One who has right standing with God. Listen, saved people, people who have been born again, people who know Jesus are righteous men and women. So, prayer is efficacious for people that have met Jesus. It's powerful. So, simple translation, prayer is powerful for believers. Isn't that wonderful? And by the way, righteous man, that's not something we do. It's something God does for us in Christ. Pause right here. Let me just ask you something. Are you righteous? Again, put away the way we think like, hey, can I come up there and give a testimony about how I'm righteous? No, that's you misunderstanding righteous. Have you come to a decisive place where you have repented of your sins and trusted in Jesus Christ alone, who He is, God, man, the God-man, fully divine, fully human, who came down here, and listen, He lived a perfect, sinless life that God credits to us, Christ's righteousness. And He went to the cross on Calvary and he poured out his blood and he died at the hands of sinful men to pay for our sins. And if you are sincerely, genuinely, from the heart, trusting in him, I want to tell you, brother, sister, you're righteous. The effective prayer of a righteous man. So we don't think like, well, that's like the handful of people that like really, you know, they have a passion for prayer. No, it's like this is normal living for believers. How could I leave something off? Okay, human, I'll just give you a quick illustration. Let's say I had a neighbor in town, a relative in town, who was worth $350 million. Okay, you with me? I don't, unless Stephanie, you haven't told me something on your side of the family. And let's say we were having dinner with this relative, and this relative said, let me just tell you something. When you call me and ask me something, just know I will do it. And here's my number. How many of y'all think it'd be like, you see me like 3 years later, like, how often you talk to your relative? Like, I hadn't called him. You'd be like, are you? You know what you would say? Crazy. He told you. I'm talking, and by the way, he didn't, let's say, just play along with me. He didn't say call if you have a need. Like, hey, I'm talking about, do you like steak, David? That freezer in my garage is just full. You just come. I have cameras, but when I see a shoe, all good. Bring bags. Just get all you want. Right, and by the way, come over and get the card and the fuel card. You get right. We would be all over that. Listen, the one true living God has declared to us that he hears our prayers, he welcomes our prayers, he answers our prayers, and he told James to write down that the effective prayer of people who know Jesus accomplishes much. That's got to ignite. We'd be like, that's got to ignite us to be a praying people. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Now, verses 17 and 18 is just an illustration of the principle. So the power of prayer, third, is vividly illustrated in the life of Elijah. I'm going to throw you my second curveball of the day. Look at verse 17. You're going to say, well, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. And you're going to read that at first, and you're going to go, yeah, but Elijah, he was a great prophet. So righteous man, I can't measure up to verse 16, and I'm certainly not, I'm no Elijah, verse 17. You'll be reading it wrong. You will read about, read that again this week, you'll be blessed to go read it. Go read 1 Kings 17. 18 and 19, and you'll read about Elijah the great prophet. And we would say, surely if we were like him, we could pray powerfully. Well, I'll give you some examples in a minute. But Elijah, he, like us, experienced highs and lows. Now, look at what James says. It's interesting. It's incredibly interesting. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Let me tell you what he says there. James says, Elijah is just an everyday dude, I guess, or dudette. I don't even know if that's a word. He's just an everyday guy like us. Elijah is just a plain old guy. That's what he says. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. So he was just an ordinary person. And by the way, in Scripture, many of his prayers are recorded. The one that James references is not even in Scripture. Here would be an example of one of the prayers he prayed in Scripture. 1 Kings 18, remember he faced the false prophets of Baal. At the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, today let it be known that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and I have done all these things at your word. That's his prayer. Listen, answer me, O Lord, answer me that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God and that you have turned their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. So that's one of Elijah's prayers. So he's a praying man. Elijah was a man just like us, just like me, just like you. He was a man, ordinary man. He prayed. And when he prayed, and I love this. This is so good too. Look at middle of verse 17. He prayed earnestly. He prayed earnestly. Let me tell you what that, and you probably have a text note on this. It says, it means, it literally, with prayer, he prayed. With prayer, he prayed. Let me tell you what it means. He just prayed. That's all he did. He just prayed. With prayer, he prayed. And by the way, the earnestly, it sounds like he sort of persisted in doing that. But he, ordinary guy, ordinary prayer, kept ordinary praying. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly. By the way, in case you thought he had it all figured out, listen to Elijah when he was severely depressed. Listen to this. 1 Kings 19, verse 3. He was afraid, arose, ran for his life, came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. Now, this prayer is going to be interesting. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. Now, listen to what his prayer request is. He requested for himself that he might die. You ever been there? That's a pretty low. And I don't know that. I mean, that's struggling, isn't it? By the way, I want you to think about this. This is so cool to me. That's one prayer God didn't answer. Elijah's one of a handful of people that didn't die. God took him up. Isn't that a good father? He gives you what you need, and he doesn't give you what you what? Don't need. Think about how low he can be. Who is he, the great prophet, or is he the guy under the tree? It is enough, O Lord, take my life, for I am not better than my father's. And listen, God said, take a nap and eat a good meal. Look at the text. He lay down and slept under a juniper tree, and behold, there was an angel touching him, and he said to him, arise and eat. Do you see our tender father? How good, how good. It's vividly illustrated in the life of Elijah. So let's go back to verse 17. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He was just an ordinary man. And he prayed a prayer. And he kept praying it earnestly. And by the way, this prayer was so powerful. Now let's stick with what the text said. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And guess what? It did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Elijah has had access to a meteorologist, didn't he? No, not a meteorologist. A meteorologist just does what? That's a bad illustration. They just tell you with the weather. They try to forecast the weather. Elijah's got God down on earth directing the weather. That's what it says. Prayer's pretty powerful. You got an ordinary guy over there, and he keeps praying, and for 3 years and 6 months, we're not getting rain because he's praying. I'm like, that's a pretty powerful illustration, isn't it? Verse 18, then he prayed again, and the sky poured rain. So it wasn't going to rain until Elijah prayed. Wow. Human prayer equaled divine results. Ordinary people praying ordinary prayers produces extraordinary divine supernatural results. How many of you, when you're in ministering to somebody, man, you're talking about feeling inadequate. We need to like preach this over and over and over. So here's what James 5, 17, 18 does not say. Elijah came into the room, and Elijah was known as the most eloquent of all the prophets. And when Elijah prayed, the ladies handed out handkerchiefs, and they would cry a bucket of tears, and they would say, nobody's ever prayed like Elijah prayed. Right? That's how we build the culture. And like, hey, think you come up. And I love this. When I see you on Sunday morning, I'm not back in my office going like, what am I going to say to him when I see him? We just, with prayer, he prayed. Isn't that beautiful? And God acted. We've misunderstood prayer, and we like. And then, by the way, we'll start thinking like, well, we need to get so and so to pray because he prays good. Well, praise the Lord for that. Whatever that means, I don't know if praise the Lord for that or not. Because if he's trying to do it, if we're not careful, he'll be the designated prayer, the DP. We don't want a DP, do we? We just want plain old vanilla buttermilk believers. Believe in God. Take so we got a need. Like, we're going to grab. Hey, man, when I said that to you, that was ugly. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Yeah, man, I'll forgive you. That did hurt my feelings. Good. Can we pray right now? Man, that's so. I love how the things in the body are not like, oh, I'm going to go home and study some Greek and see if I can get my arms around what David was preaching this morning. You don't need the Greek, sister. I don't. It's just like plain. Therefore, confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another. By the way, you'll do that. Oh, you'll be so healed, healthy. And here's the offer God put out there. Call him. The efficacious prayer of people who know Jesus, it accomplishes a whole lot. And you're like, what do you mean, like, accomplishes a whole lot? Let me tell you about one ordinary guy back there. He was prone to lows so low that one day he just laid down under a tree. He was really, really scared. And he was like, God, kill me. God didn't, because God loved him. God said, no, I'm not going to kill you, Elijah. I'm going to take care of you. But do you know that guy? He prayed, and for 3.5 years, it didn't rain because he was praying that it wouldn't. And it didn't rain till he prayed and asked God to send rain. That is the illustration of how powerful prayer is. Lord, help us just like run to get in on this. So, doing the word. See that prayer is a gift for all seasons. I love verse 13. Pray for yourself. 14, if you get sick, what? Call for people to pray for you. 14 and 15. 16, we sin against each other. I sin against him. I'm just going to avoid him. No. You're not avoiding. We're going like, by the way, we're about to have the ordinance. This would be a really, really good time. Like, together. See that prayer is a gift for all seasons. Good days, bad days. You got any trouble, pray. You've sinned against anyone, pray. Just know that prayer is efficacious. So see that prayer is a gift for all seasons. I think about, it would be like so many times, it'd be like, let's say you had some ailment, okay? Let's say you had some ailment, and you're up at Southeast, and the infectious disease people are treating you, okay? You've got an ailment, and I'm talking about, like, it's got the stuff outside the room. You know, I go visit sometimes. It's got, like, put on all this for you, go in there and see him. Like, ooh, that's scary. And they're like, well, we're trying to figure out what his problem is. We're culturing. Let's say Monday they were running tests and Wednesday they were running tests. What if Thursday they said, listen, we're not sure what you have, but we have a broad spectrum antibiotic. We got a drug that we can give you and it will kill whatever ails you. Here's what I would say. I don't really care what the problem is. Give me the med. Any of y'all? I think prayer is that way. So wherever we are, we think like, y'all, so-and-so sick. We need to start praying for him. James would say, you're misunderstanding the blessing that we have in prayer. See that prayer is a gift for all seasons. And these verses walk us through that. Second, man, this is a growth. Confess our sins to those we have sinned against and pray together. Confess our sins to those we've sinned against and pray together. Third, give thanks for Christ and that because of him we are righteous. So you can mark in your Bible there at James 5:16, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. And you can put righteous man equal people who have been born again, people who know Jesus, not some kind of super righteousness that's in us, but God's grace that has transformed us. Jesus did that for us. Give thanks for Christ and that because of him we are righteous. Fourth, recognize that praying is the most powerful thing we can do. Resolve to grow in our prayer lives.
recognize. And by the way, if you need help recognizing, that's what our text has been this morning. Recognize that praying is the most powerful thing we can do. We can do powerful things after we prayed, but it is the most powerful thing we can do. And by all means, Lord, grow us to be a praying people and for Lagos to be a praying church. Before I pray, I'm going to ask our deacons who are, by the way, we're going to proclaim that we are trusting in Christ by about what we're about to do. So deacons, if you're serving, would you head this way pretty quickly while I give our instructions for the ordinance of the supper. So we're about to have the ordinance as we do every first Lord's Day of the month. And so we practice open communion as a church. That entails all of the folks who are members at Lagos in good standing. You're invited, encouraged, welcome to participate. In addition to that, we welcome brothers and sisters who are born again believers and have been obedient, followed the Lord in believers' baptism, and who are members in good standing of sister churches. We welcome you to the Lord's table as well. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for, Lord, we thank you for your word, such a main and plain thing we've studied this morning, and God, convicting somewhere between my head and heart. I have known, Lord, everything we've studied this morning about prayer, but prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave prayer off, to be so distracted in our praying. And Lord, you know our frame. We are but dust. You don't beat us over the head with that. Lord, even as Elijah and how tenderly you dealt with him at that low point when he was weak and weary and not thinking right, Lord, you ministered to him. And so we thank you for Christ, our great Savior, Lord, King. We thank you for the clear word you brought to us this morning, Lord. We like James, want to take seriously the health of the body. We want to be intentional to not damage your bride. And Lord, when we sin against each other, help us to be quick to confess our sins to one another and pray for and with one another. Thank you for the gift of prayer. Thank you that prayer is efficacious. Lord, it's powerful. It works. Thank you for the example from Elijah's life. And even as that doing the word point, grow us, Lord, help us to grow in our joy in you, in our communion with you, in running to spend time before you. So move us, Lord, from wherever we are to where you'd have us to be. As we get ready to have the elements served, we thank you for the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was broken on our behalf. Thank you that he set his face like a flint and went to Jerusalem, and he went straight to the cross. And thank you for his precious blood that was poured out, that it was a superior blood to that of bulls and goats, that is powerful to wash away all of our sins. And Lord, we, even as we sang this morning, we boast in Jesus. We boast only in Jesus. Pray that we would avail ourselves of your grace to judge ourselves rightly in these moments, Lord, as pray you'd bring to mind those sins of our heart, and we would be able to deal with them. We pray that we would be obedient, Lord. Thank you that you've commanded us to do what we're doing. And we pray that our obedience in this area would be a proclamation of the Lord's death until he comes. And God, we rejoice that we're not yet in that land. Lord, we're in a Genesis 3 world where death is still a reality, but Jesus is coming back, and he will set all things right, and we will be with him and with each other. And so, God, we pray that our worship this morning would be exceedingly pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen.